You're listening to the iSports MSU Red. You're listening to the iSports MSU Red Theater Report, where apparently we put the F in professional. My name is Tyler Hayward. With me today, Grant Espenmacher. We're going to preview Michigan State's game this weekend against BYU. Michigan State looking to avoid their first three-game losing streak since 2009. Not a easy task, but not the toughest task by any stretch of the imagination either, as BYU comes to town for the first ever meeting between the iSports MSU Red Theater Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Red Theater Report to listen to our past shows. So, like I said, Grant is with me today. He did the scouting report on BYU, I believe, yesterday. If not, it was Wednesday, but he did do the BYU scouting report. I can tell you that much. Grant, take a quick overview of BYU this season and what they've been able to do.
So, you know, in the past, I think BYU has really been known as a spread offense team, score a lot of points really quickly. They have a new coach this year. Bronco Mendenhall moved on to Virginia, so they have a new coach, new system. Ty Detmer is now running their offense. I'm sure that's a name that many people have heard, especially if you've been a college football fan for a long time. But, you know, offensively, they have had their struggles, but they've also had some areas where they really kind of jump off the page at you, specifically with Jamal Williams out of the backfield. I mean, he's averaging 6.5 yards a carry. He has 8 touchdowns in 5 games. He's a really, really powerful guy. He's 6'2". He can run you over. He can beat you with speed. He's a really good back. Outside of that, I mean, the fact that they have 5 receivers with 12 catches or over is really eye-popping as well. They spread Taysom Hill, the quarterback, spreads the ball around a lot to a lot of different guys. All 5 of those receivers also have over 100 yards receiving on the year. So they have a lot of different guys that can make plays in the offense. But then you look at Taysom Hill, you know, the sixth-year senior. He, kind of like Ed Davis, has had a lot of injuries over his career, got granted the sixth year of eligibility, and has kind of struggled out of the gates a little bit. He's got 6 picks and 5 touchdowns. But the one thing that makes him super, super dangerous is he's a dual threat. He can leave the pocket and beat you with his feet. And anytime you have a quarterback like that can beat you in multiple ways, it becomes a problem, despite what the stats may tell you.
Yeah, and I do kind of want to talk about their offense. Obviously, Ty Detmer was more or less a career backup at the NFL level, but when you look at his college resume, it's rather impressive. He's one of the greatest college football players of all time, and to see him implement a spread, I think, is something that you don't see a lot of these guys do after they're done playing. They tend to stick with what it was that they played with growing up, and what Ty Detmer's been able to do with this BYU offense. It's been incredible as of late, let's just put it like that. A couple close games, low-scoring games with Arizona, Utah, and UCLA to kick off the season. But over the past 2 weeks, they've scored 87 points against West Virginia and Toledo. Now, you said that this is a new coaching staff, obviously, Ty Detmer, his first year as the offensive coordinator. Is the offense starting to pick up? Is it finally just starting to click for them? Or is it more or less a product of who they played? Because West Virginia has that Matador defense. Toledo, obviously, not playing in the Power 5 conference. Is it a product of who they played? Or is it a sign of things to come?
I think it's a little bit of both. When you look at their offense the last 2 games and you look at the points and the yards they've gained, it's been a lot on the ground. It's been a lot of Jamal Williams. It's been a lot of Taysom Hill. Against Toledo, Williams had 286 yards and 5 touchdowns on 30 carries, which are just eye-popping numbers. I know it's Toledo, but, you know, and then you look at Taysom Hill's stats that game, he only completed 11 passes. So, you know, you're looking at the offense, they look more explosive, especially on the ground. I think Detmer would like to see Taysom Hill do a little bit better through the air, But I think, I mean, if you go and you look at what Michigan State has to do to win this game, I think that, you know, you got to look at stopping Jamal Williams. If you let him run all over you, kind of like West Virginia and Toledo have allowed, you know, it's going to be troublesome. And you're right, they have started to put things together. You know, Taysom Hill has started to realize that he's probably more of a threat running the ball than he is throwing the ball. And when you have that, you have two guys, one from the quarterback position that can beat you on the ground. It's really, really difficult to defend, as we've seen over the course of college football in the last 5 or so years when they've gone to a lot of read option, spread-type looks. So, you know, I think if Michigan State can make BYU into a passing team, they will be a lot more successful on Saturday.
Yeah, and when you talk about stopping the run, that starts up front. Well, there's some issues up front now. Raekwon Williams, he's going to be out for an extended period of time, probably 3 weeks to a month. And then you have Malik McDowell, who is going to miss the first half of this game anyways due to what we talked about on our Indiana recap was a garbage suspension, more or less. So don't throw out John Reskins out. Stop this team with the guys.
You there?
Penasic be there as well. And so can Michigan State stop the running game without those key pieces up front?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a challenge. You know, you have, unfortunately for Michigan State, it's kind of a week with a little bit poor timing because they, you know, obviously when you think about stopping the run, you think about getting a push from the defensive line, having the linebackers that are experienced come and fill holes. And without McDowell and Raekwon Williams, you're looking at, like you said, you mentioned the names, Kevin Williams, Penasic, Gerald Owens, and talk about Brandon Clemens coming over from right guard and playing defensive tackle. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of relying on guys that aren't necessarily as experienced, except for maybe Kevin Williams, who is a senior, can't transfer from Nebraska. So, you know, it's going to be difficult. You don't have Bulla, or you might not have Bulla. You don't have Reschke, whatever it may be. So, you know, it's not going to be easy for Michigan State. I think that Harlan Barnett and you know, D'Antonio are going to have to get really creative in terms of how they can think of different ways to do it as opposed to just the normal line up with four down linemen, three linebackers, and our best is going to beat your best, because I'm not sure it will this week. So they might have to get more creative in how they want to do it.
Yeah, and when you look at Brandon Clemens specifically, he is going to start at right tackle, and we'll talk about the offensive line here in a minute. But can he play both sides of the ball efficiently? Because it seems like one game he's really on the offensive side of the ball, but then he's, I mean, for lack of a better term, irrelevant on defense. Then other games he blows up the offensive line when he's playing defense. And then on offense, he has his struggles from time to time. You don't really notice him on the field on one side of the ball, but you notice him on the other. Is that going to – can he be an impact on both sides of the ball this week?
You know, I think it'll be difficult. There's a reason why guys don't do this normally. You don't see this a lot, and the reason for that is simply because it's hard. You have to be in immaculate shape. You have to be able to go – and play so many snaps. I mean, there's only so many guys that play that many snaps. You look at Jabril Peppers from Michigan, who plays a ton of snaps, but he's, you know, it's not the same comparison because it's a lineman versus a skill position player. But I mean, it's just difficult to play that many snaps. And so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's a really good football player. He's good. He can be good on both sides of the ball. I just don't know if he can be good on both sides of the ball at the same time for a full four quarter game. And so it'll be interesting to see how many snaps they play him on defense, how many snaps they play him on offense, and how effective he is on both sides of the ball, because I think they are going to need him to play well to win the game. He's going to be one of the key players for the Spartans this week.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously this is more applied to the first half than the second half when Malik McDowell comes back after halftime. Penasic will probably be the third defensive tackle, and Gerald Owens will obviously help spell Brandon Clemens as well. And so the depth is there. The problem is I mean, we talked about it. There's a difference between experience and age.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a guy like Kevin Williams, he has the age he doesn't necessarily have the experience because he's been hurt his entire career. When you look at Pinajik, he's young, but has no experience. And so there's a difference between that. And Michigan State, they're going to get some experience this weekend. I mean, I think that's the one sure thing that we can take away from this. One of the things that I do want to talk about while we're on the defensive side of the ball is Michigan State. I mean, obviously, it's come with a loss to Indiana, but in a scare against Notre Dame. But I think they've looked really, really good against the spread offenses for the most part, when you could probably say over the last 2 years before this season, they've kind of had their struggles, even while Narduzzi was there during his farewell tour in East Lansing. Can Michigan State continue to hold down the spread, or is Indiana maybe struggling with Richard Lago as their new quarterback, and obviously Notre Dame's offensive line is about as worthless as putting me in there? Can Michigan State stop BYU spread, and what differentiates BYU spread from the Indiana and Notre Dame offenses?
Well, first off, I think that when you look at Michigan State, it's all relative. Like you said, the last couple of years they've struggled with it, and so now they've looked better. They still don't look where they probably need to be, but they've looked a lot better. And I think you're seeing more adjustments.
Well, if you look at Notre Dame, let me just interject something. If you look at Notre Dame had 7 points up until
right.
Michigan State stopped blitzing. You look at Indiana, Michigan State held them scoreless until under a minute left in the third quarter. And that's stuff that we don't normally see from this Michigan State team.
Right, but I think, when you look at that, and as you mentioned, all that is true, but then you look at the way, and part of it is on coaching too, like you said, in the Notre Dame game, they kind of went to the prevent sort of thing, or whatever it may be, but they still have to finish games. I mean, you can stop the spread for three quarters, but if you end up giving up 30, whatever they did to Notre Dame, I mean, you end up giving up a lot of points, you're still going to have to score a lot to beat them. And against Indiana, I thought they were a lot better for the full game than they were against Notre Dame. But in terms of what BYU does differently, you look at Deshaun Kizer can move around. He can use his legs to beat you, not nearly as much as his arm. I mean, Lago or Richard Lago from Indiana isn't nearly the threat with his legs that Taysom Hill is. And so I think that's the biggest difference to me, is I think that, A, Taysom Hill can get out of the pocket and really beat you with your legs. You almost have to commit a defender to spy him every time he drops back, because that's just how dangerous he can be when he leaves the pocket. And secondly, I'm not sure that Michigan State against Indiana or Notre Dame saw a running back as good as Jamal Williams is going to be on Saturday. So I almost think BYU's offense provides more of a challenge. Maybe Notre Dame has a little bit better of an offense because of how talented Kizer is with his arm, but it's a different kind of challenge that BYU presents, and it'll be interesting to see how they react. I think that BYU's quarterback and running back combination is much more dangerous than maybe they even saw against Indiana. So we'll see how the defense reacts, especially undermanned without all those guys we mentioned before.
Yeah, no, the biggest problem, obviously, with the Indiana game, at least to me, what it looked like was fatigue. And that's in part to Reschke and Bola both being out of the game. Chris Fry missed the latter portions. Malik McDowell missed the latter portions of the game as well. And so I think that there's a I think that is an issue, and that you will end up seeing a guy like Gerald Owens, who we've talked about, maybe seeing significant reps for the first time in his career throughout the course of this entire game. And so I think that that's going to be one thing to keep an eye on, is can Michigan State keep their guys fresh? Can they play enough guys at the linebacker position without seeing the drop-off in talent? Because there was a drop-off against Indiana with the starters playing, too. The only difference is they didn't go as deep as they normally do. And so I think that that's one thing that we should all kind of keep an eye on, is the rotation of the front seven. Just given the fact that fatigue seemed to be an issue against Indiana.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you look at the front seven, and obviously in terms of probably the biggest question mark outside of, according to some fans or whatever it may be, quarterback, you look at Michigan State's team as a whole right now with all the injuries and the Malik McDowell targeting penalty, the front seven is definitely probably the biggest question mark for Michigan State right now. I'm not sure that there's anywhere else you can point to that you're more probably concerned about given the guys that we've lost at those positions.
Yeah, and let's not call it a penalty. Let's call it a targeting call because I still don't know if that was a penalty on Malik McDowell's part. You talked about Williams for BYU, and you seem to be really high on this kid. While he brings to the table 6.5 yards carry, obviously nothing to scoff at. I think if you would have to compare him to someone, it would be, let's say, a Tyler Nady of Indiana. Only averaged 3.8 yards carry against the Spartans. But he was a bigger back, and he made the plays when needed to and kind of wore down the Michigan State defense. Would that be the most suitable comparison probably, or does Williams bring an extra element, whether it be catching out of the backfield, a little speed burst or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really – he has 6 receptions this year out of the backfield, so he does do it. It's not a huge part of his game, and I think in general BYU throws to the receivers more than they look to out of the backfield. I think a lot of their check down options are more receiver screens. I think they will try to keep Taysom Hill from throwing the ball downfield, a lot of shorter, quick-hitting passes. But Williams, I mean, I like that comparison. He's 6'2", 220. He's a bigger back. What he does really well is between the tackles. He has the speed to get to the outside, but he's a between-the-tackles kid. He doesn't come down easily. You have to make sure you tackle well. And the other thing about him is he's experienced. He's had 601 carries in his career for over 3,000 yards, 31 touchdowns. So those are numbers that show that he's been doing this, you know, for a little while. And it's not that he's just come onto the scene and maybe this is his first real opponent, whatever it may be. He's been there for a while and he's done it consistently over the course of the last year and a half. So that's the other thing that you have to look at is, you know, he's established himself as a good back and he's going to be a challenge for Michigan State. I mean, he is the real deal. And so we'll see how the Spartans respond.
Yeah, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about the offensive side of the ball. Changes are being made. Obviously not where a majority, or if it's not a majority, it's a excessively vocal minority of Michigan State fans want Tyler O'Connor. He's still going to be under center to start this game. But the changes are coming. What do you think about some of these changes that Mark D'Antonio has been making?
Yeah, I think that in terms of the shuffling along the offensive line, to be honest, to start the year, I was a little bit surprised the way that they did it with Brian Allen. They had Allen start the year. I believe it was at guard, and they had Cody Keeler start the year at center, and I was a little bit skeptical of that as it was. It seemed like Keeler was the most ready guy to go and assume what Conklin did for the offensive line. And, you know, it seems natural, besides the fact that they're brothers, that Brian Allen could succeed Jack and be the center, the guy that calls all the reads. So I like what he's done in terms of reshuffling that offensive line. Obviously, we've documented that David Beadle has really struggled at tackle. So, you know, I think I like the fact that they're shuffling it up, doing what they're doing. And hopefully the one thing that I'm hoping that you can really see the difference in is the ability to open up holes and run the football, because, as you know, LJ Scott's had a pretty good year so far, but, you know, he's not – I think he could have a better year, and I think some of that's on the offensive line. So, you know, I'm hoping that against the BYU defense that has struggled mightily over the past couple of weeks, I think that you'll see hopefully LJ Scott kind of have a little bit more of a breakout game. Not that he hasn't had a bad year so far, but he might go for a lot more yards than he has thus far. So we'll see how those offensive line changes really help him out too.
Yeah, and there's been questions about whether or not Gerald Holmes can take over for L.J. Scott soon, and I think that that's the next reasonable change for Michigan State right now, if you will. Yeah, Cody Keeler, he's listed as a co-starter at left tackle, but given the way Beadle has struggled, I don't see any reason why Beadle's going to end up getting the call. Looking from left to right across the rest of the line, Benny McGowan, Brian Allen, Brandon Clemens, and Miguel Machado. One of those situations where there's a lot of age, very mm-hmm. little experience. McGowan, a fifth-year senior. Brandon Clemens, a sixth-year senior. Machado, a fifth-year senior. Machado saw limited time last year. Clemens, obviously, we've talked about that throughout the course of his career. McGowan came on, I think, at the second half of last season. But now when you look at the rest of the depth chart underneath that, again, left to right, Tyler Higbee, redshirt freshman. Devin Salmon, a junior who's not really played throughout the course of his career unless Michigan State was taking knees later in games. Chase Nakakos, and knew I was going to struggle with that one. And Dial Lacusa, Jim Nakakos, a sophomore, Lacusa, a freshman. Is what Michigan State doing kind of building for the future a little bit to where they'll be able to play these guys a little bit more? Because the Cody Keeler move, it bumps Cole Chewins back, but it opens things up across the rest of the offensive line for some of these younger guys to get in. Is Michigan State going to use this as, okay, maybe these guys deserve a little bit more playing time, talking about the backups or the second string on the two deep?
Yeah, and I think you will see Michigan State rotate offensive linemen more often than most teams will this week and then maybe moving forward too, just because of the fact, like you said, I mean, you know, D'Antonio said he's not throwing this year away, he's still playing for this year. But at the same time, you do have to start preparing people for next year a little bit, given the fact that they're 2-2. You can say all these things, but you do want your young guys to start getting more game experience. But at the same time, like you said before, the starters that they have listed right now, you have all seniors and one junior. And I know that they haven't been in games a lot throughout the course of their career outside of Keeler and Allen and a little bit of McGowan, but you've been here for 4 to 5 years. You know, the way D'Antonio has always ran his program is once you've been there for that long, it's time for you to step up, and he's always relied on his seniors to step up. And so I think at the same time, you want to play those young guys, but you have to rely on these veterans to start stepping up and playing better. And that's simply what has to happen for them to continue to have success this year. Obviously you want the freshmen and the sophomores and all those guys to play, but you want at the same time to keep it balanced so that in your offensive line this year too.
Yeah. And you look at a guy like Keeler, I think that we've been kind of waiting for Keeler to step up for the past two seasons. Brian Allen, he seems to have taken a little bit of a dip as well. And so I don't know what it is about these guys, if they felt like they had the protection that they did with three pros, two of them being All-Americans, and Donovan Clark, Jack Allen, and Jack Conklin, obviously the latter two, the All-Americans. There is a little bit more room for error with Keeler. And right now you're starting to see what it's like to have him be your best offensive lineman. Allen is probably a little bit better than he is, but Allen has there's been plays where Allen has missed his block entirely, and he's doing it from the inside of the line. And so that makes it really difficult to give him all the credit in the world as being the best right now on Michigan State's front. Just because you look at, well, let's say the last play against Indiana, where Tyler O'Connor took a sack before Geiger went out and missed a field goal, Allen whiffed on his guy entirely. And, I mean, he's played solid. He's played good in stretches, but then he's also had some plays where you expect a guy as talented as he is to make that play, and he's just not making it. We've got about 6 minutes left. Really quickly, one key to the game.
I'm going to go ahead and say stopping the run for Michigan State, and then Tyler O'Connor in the offense, staying away from turnovers. BYU's done a really good job. Their defense has been pretty bad, but outside of that, their defense has done a really good job at turning other teams over. So if I had to pick one, I'd probably say the turnovers. If Michigan State doesn't turn the ball over, I think they'll end up okay and win the football game.
Me, I'm going to go with avoiding third and longs. You look at what Michigan State has done, what Tyler O'Connor has done. We talked about it. More efficient than Connor Cook on short and medium range passes, on short and medium to go. However, either way you want to look at it, he's been more efficient than Connor Cook. Only the biggest difference between the two is Connor Cook was just as efficient on third and eight or more. And so when you look at their numbers, you look at Cook last year, and you look at O'Connor this year, and people say the numbers are skewed because they played Wisconsin, FCS school, Notre Dame's terrible, whatever. They only played one really good team. Well, you space it out throughout the course of the season. You know, you only play Ohio State once. You only play Michigan once. Play Iowa once. Play Alabama. That's about, what, a third of your games. You play a couple FCS schools. You play an Eastern or something along those lines. Look, as far as strength of schedule goes, the ratio is up there. All right? The ratio is up there for tough teams. And O'Connor's more efficient on the shorter throws, completes about 4% more of his passes this year than Cook did last year. The only difference is Cook's numbers actually increased on third and eight or more. O'Connor, just 7-17. He's taken half of his sacks in those situations as well, which means the offensive line isn't getting the protection because it's typically a longer drop back for the quarterback. And the receiver's got to run longer routes. And some of these guys who don't have the experience or are a little younger, Justin Lane, Tristan Jackson, Donnie Corley, all true freshmen, Felton Davis, he's not really lived up to the expectations yet. And then Monty Medeiros, again, old but inexperienced. These guys aren't getting open on the longer routes, a little longer to break off. And so O'Connor's taking the sacks on those. If O'Connor can stay out of those situations, I think he, in turn, does kind of what you said, what your key to the game was. I think he avoids the turnovers because then he doesn't have to make the play. He doesn't have to try to force something that isn't there because the line can't protect or the receivers can't get open. We got just a couple minutes left. Let's get to the predictions to wrap this up.
I think that, you know, like you said, I agree with your key as well. I do think, obviously, we talked about it earlier in the week, Michigan State has to do a better job getting to third and manageable. You look at BYU's schedule so far and their results, a two-point margin, a one-point margin, three-point margin, three-point margin, two-point margin. So their closest game, or their biggest margin deficit has been three. I don't see any reason to believe that it'll be any really significantly larger than that. I don't think that you'll see either team blow the other one out. BYU seems to play a lot of close games. Michigan State so far has played a lot of close games outside of Wisconsin, and they have a propensity to do that too. I think it'll be a close game. I think Michigan State's at home. Anytime a team out west comes to the eastern Midwest area, it makes it a little bit more difficult for them. So I like Michigan State to win something along the lines of 28-24. I think O'Connor makes enough plays. BYU's defense isn't good enough to win them this football game. I like Michigan State 28-24.
You know what? I got the exact same score as you. Only problem is I got it inverted. I don't know if I don't know if Michigan State, if they have the depth to hang with a spread team that can run, that can pound it. And we saw Tyler Nady at the end of the game last week for Indiana. And I don't know if Michigan State can hang with that throughout the course of a game. Not, they can when Reschke's there, when Bola's there, when Raekwon Williams is there. I don't think that they can do it without those guys there. And Malik McDowell's obviously out the first half as well, so that's going to take a toll on Michigan State's depth early on. Chris Fry, he might not be 100%, though he is expected to start. I've got BYU in this one, 28-24, Michigan State's first three-game losing streak since 2009. Obviously, now, Grant, I hope that you are right and I am wrong, in which case I will gladly eat crow on Monday during our recap. But that does it all for us today. For Grant Essenmacher, I am Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.